Father, as we come on this beautiful sunshiny day, we are reminded of your love for us and how constant it is and that it never fails. And we also, Lord, as your people today, we realize sometimes people say life is a struggle. Well, struggle, I guess, is another word for contest. And then from contest, we can go to race. But, Lord, there are, life is a struggle sometimes. But this is a struggle well struggling. And so we pray, Lord, that you'll be with us and help us in it. And we know you will. And we know that you desire to assist us. And you desire us to have the victory. And you desire us to prevail and have the victory no matter what the besetting circumstances are that might surround us at any given time. I think of that passage where it says, in all these things, all kinds of difficulties and trials and hindrances of life, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And so that's pretty much the message of this and how that is attained and how that can be. And so as we begin a new year and it's laying out there before us, Lord, we're not alone in this. And that is what makes us so happy today. We're not alone in this. And you will give us the help that we need in order to run this race successfully this year, no matter how many problems, setbacks, difficulties, or hindrances we might encounter along the way. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. He is our example. He will lead us on. He will give us the victory individually and as a church. Now, Lord, take your word and use it today in our lives, we pray. Give us open hearts to receive your word and then later to meditate on it, that your word may have its full work in us. This we ask in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We don't have a lot of blanks today. In fact, there are only like three, and they occur near the end. And so we've just put some of the points of these verses. I know you've read these verses many times, I would think. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Very good to commit to memory. I would imagine some of our Awana children learn Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. I would think so. And it's great stuff. And so we've just come off of chapter 11. Chapter 11 is known as the faith chapter because it's about faith. And it's also like the faith hall of fame or whatever, because through this chapter, the writer takes us down through a lot of people whose names we know, like Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and others that aren't named, but that we know from what is said that they're alluded to, like Joshua and the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and others are obviously made reference to. And these are the heroes of the faith. These are those who served God in the Old Testament time. Many of them at that time, they didn't have the scriptures like we have today. They didn't have even, a church like this or regular times of worship or the kind of, so many people say, I'd really appreciate my church family. They didn't have that kind of support. And they lived in a very idolatrous world. Now that we can relate to. There are a lot of idolatrous people around them. Worshiping other gods and involved in all kinds of other things. But these people loved the Lord. And with their limited knowledge, they loved the Lord with all their heart. They weren't perfect, certainly. But they loved the Lord. And they were willing to follow the Lord. Like Abraham, who was willing to leave everything he had ever known to go. When he left, he didn't even know for sure where he was headed yet. He loved the Lord, even at that early stage. Enough to do that. Enough to lay down their lives, like those three Hebrew boys who said to the most powerful king on earth, one of the most powerful kings the world has ever known, you can throw us in the fiery furnace, that's fine, but we will not bow down and we will not worship your image. Don't you wish we had more people with that kind of fiber today? And so, coming off of that, then he comes into chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 here. So let's look at some of the components that are mentioned here in these verses. First, we have the cloud of witnesses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and some people have said, now who are those witnesses? And some have said, well, it's these very Old Testament saints that we just read about that have already gone to glory, and now they're there sort of like in the grandstands, and now it's our race now. They finished theirs, and now they're in the grandstands, and they are cheering us on. And others have said, well, but there are people around us right now watching us every day, other Christians and also unbelievers. And there's a cloud of witnesses surrounding us right now, observing us. How many know that people are watching us? And we claim to be Christians, and maybe they don't like that, or they give us a little bit of a hard time about it. But you can be sure of one thing, they're watching us. And when we mess up, who's the first one to tell us? Those people. But we are, and people are watching us. Our unsaved relatives, they're watching us. Our unsaved spouses, they're watching us. People that we know at work, they're watching us. And we say that we go to South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church, or we say that, you know, that we are Christians or that we love the Lord. And these people are watching us. They want to see, like the song that the choir just sang, they want to see if we're really living what we believe. I remember down in Puerto Rico, a fellow had gotten saved for about the 10th or 11th or 12th time, and now he was witnessing to one of his buddies. I was standing right there when it happened, witnessing to one of his buddies in the neighborhood. But see, his buddy knew his history. He said, I tell you what, he said, you come back in about 3 years, and if you're still serving the Lord like you are now, I'll listen to you. So yeah, there are people that are watching us. But in the context of the verse itself, I do believe that he is referring to these saints who have gone on and have now filled the grandstands, and I'll tell you why I believe that. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, what's the next word? Also. Also means in addition to them. To them that we have just been talking about. Like them. Also can also mean like them. Like them. Let us. And then he tells us what we need to do. Now, y'all saw the children's message, and pretty easy to understand, wasn't it? Huh? We're getting ready to run a race, and somebody wants to come and tie up our legs or something. We wouldn't be looking too kindly on that. Now, we have the cloud of witnesses. We have the race that has been marked out before us. Let us run with endurance. The King James word was patience, but there it means endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, when you go to one of these races, it may be a 1K, a 3K, a 5K, or a marathon. Did you set out the course, or did somebody else set out the course? Somebody else set out the course, and now it's up to you to run it. So they set the course, you run it, and that's the way it works in the Christian life. The Lord has set out this race for me, and it's up to me to run it, looking to Him, depending on Him, having Him coach me. He already ran his, by the way, and ran it very successfully, which is alluded to here. And he went through more difficulties and things probably than almost any of us ever will. But he has already run his. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's been there. It says in this very book of Hebrews that he was tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin. You believe that? Tempted in every way. That's what it says. I didn't write that. Somebody else wrote that. He was tempted in every way like me. How many ways have you been tempted in your life? It says he was tempted in every way but without sin. He has run his, and he is there now to make sure that I get across the finish line safely. That is why he is there. So the race has been marked out. Hey, I'm glad. I'm glad somebody else has marked out my race for me. That gives me a great deal of security. I'm glad I don't have to make it up as I go. There are people, if you don't know the Lord, you're out there making it up as you go. That's what you're doing. But the Lord, he's already. I may not be able to see the finish line from here, but I'm running the thing that he has marked out for me. But there are things to deal with. Number three, the hindrances and traps in our way. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. Some translations say that so easily entangles us. I think the King James says that so quickly besets us. And there's even a phrase that is used, a besetting sin. It's a sin that we're kind of predisposed to. And even as a believer, we may fall there from time to time because it's an area in our life that we love the Lord, we're serving the Lord, and we know the Lord and all that, but there's this one thing that keeps coming to kind of, we have a weakness in that area, and so it kind of trips us up. So he says, if you're going to run, and again, the children's sermon shows it to us. You know, if you see somebody running down the street carrying a big old stool, then you just don't see that. We have enough sense to know when we run, we need to get rid of the stuff that is weighing us down. Now, today, they have a word for that in the psychology world. Today, we call it baggage. It's a weight. Get rid of all the baggage. The Lord doesn't want you running this race carrying all that baggage around. We have people say, this happened 20 years ago and I still haven't gotten over it. Get over it. You say, well, that's easier said than done. Well, yeah, maybe so. But how many believe anything is possible for the Lord? I am not, you know, maybe the one thing Oprah Winfrey ever said that I agreed with was, you are not your past. And that's especially true of a Christian. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things, what does old mean? That's from another time, that's from another era, that's from when I didn't serve him. The old things, I would think that includes baggage that we have from our past lives. The old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So let's make 2015, if we still have some of that baggage, How many know that if it wasn't for the baggage you're carrying around, you would have already grown more in the Lord than you've grown? So let's make 2015 the year of getting rid of the baggage. It is time to get rid of the baggage. It is time to take those suitcases that we're trying to run with and get rid of them and let them go and say, Lord, I'm going to let it go so I can focus on you and so I can focus on this race, so I can focus on what's really important. Wait. A lot of times the weight comes from right inside. It's the weight we're carrying around, our weight. How many ever saw that show, The Biggest Loser? Huh? Those people are laying aside the weight. It's this weight right here. It's not the stuff out there. It's this stuff right here. And it's this stuff right here that holds us back. There's the stuff out there that holds us back, and there's the stuff in here that holds us back. The weight is the stuff here, the stuff I'm carrying, and the sin that so easily entangles me is the stuff that's out there to trip me up, and that is there. But either one or both of these can hold us back or trip us up as we run this race. And both have to be addressed. Apotithemi. That's a Greek word. It means to put off or aside, to lay aside, to cast off. It means to get rid of it and toss it off. I can almost see somebody running and they got all this extra stuff, and as they run, they're tossing it because they want to be free to run. And that's how it ought to be. This same Greek word is used all through the New Testament. But that is not the way you learned Christ, Paul wrote, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self. It's the same word. To put off, cast away, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. There's the baggage. And is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Here's another passage from, that's Ephesians. Here's Colossians. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Same word. Get rid of it. Toss it off. Why? Anger. Will that slow you down in your recurring anger? Slow you down in your Christian growth? Wrath? Oh, that's when you go nuclear. Malice? Slander, obscene talk from your mouth, any of that stuff. It's going to slow me down. It's got to go. Here's another one, James 1:21. Therefore, put away, same Greek word, all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. 1 Peter 2:1-3. So put away all malice, same Greek word, put it away. All malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Get rid of the things that are going to hamper you in your walk with the Lord. Get rid of them. And then, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And then we come to this passage. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. Did you see that word, every? It didn't say most. Lay aside every weight. The Lord won't force us to get rid of stuff that we're still clinging to. Maybe you've learned that by now in your Christian walk. He's not going to force us to get rid of things we're clinging to. But if we really want to be done with them, whatever it may be, a habit or some attitude we have towards somebody that we had a falling out with, you know, months ago or years ago, whatever it may be, if we really want to be rid of it, he's there to help us get rid of every weight and everything that holds us back so that we can run this successfully. Now, we come to another Greek word, euperistatos. And that's the one, bear with me here, got to find my, okay, where it says, and the sin which clings so closely, or the sin that so easily besets us. Here's the literal translation of that Greek word. Literally, well standing around. You say, huh? Well, standing around. Or, as Thayer says, skillfully surrounding. Now listen to this. This is from Strong's and from Thayer lexicon. This is what this word means. Literally, well standing around or skillfully surrounding to prevent or retard running. Beset, surround from every side. That is, a competitor thwarting a racer in every direction. How many have ever watched basketball? How many have ever watched basketball? I don't know much about basketball, but I know that when those guys are down there and they're trying to move that ball and they're getting ready to throw that ball, there's somebody all around them doing like this constantly trying to block them. That is what this word is. How many here have ever run it somewhere between a 1K and a race and a marathon? Anybody ever run? All right. How many, let's see if we have anybody here today. I know we have. How many here have ever run either a half marathon or a marathon? Anybody? We got anybody? We got one, two. We got a couple. Now, here's the thing. Imagine running a marathon while having a guy like that basketball guy trying to thwart your every move. Would that make it more difficult? Would that make it a little bit harder? How many have ever heard of the devil? Do you think he's happy that you love and serve the Lord? You're beginning to get into the Bible. You're beginning to get more regular in your church attendance. You're thinking about joining the Firm Foundation Sunday School class. Is the devil happy about that? He can't force you not to do it. Now, here's the thing you've got to understand. He cannot force you not to do it, but he will thwart you any and every way that he can, by every means available to him. He will give you every distraction there is in the book. You will wake up with some pain in your calf that you've never had before, and you say, I don't know if I can make it to church this morning. He will thwart you every way that he can. And so that is how we are running this way. So there's the weight. I've got to get rid of that because that's something I'm carrying. And then there's the guy out here doing like this. And I got to contend with him too. So a lot of people say, man, this race ain't even worth it. Man, this race is too hard. You know, I ain't running this race. I think I'll find me a different race. But let me ask you something. Is it worth it? We're going to get to that in a minute. But we're going to forget when some of this is going on, we're going to forget that it's worth it because we got our mind on the weight. We got our mind on the person that's out there trying to thwart us. And it's wonderful and it's very convenient because then we can always blame everybody else for the fact that we're not growing the way we should. We're blaming circumstances. Why? We're not growing in the Lord like we should. It's very convenient. But if we want to finish this race, let me tell you something. There isn't a demon in hell that can keep us from finishing it. It may not be easy, but the good news is we are able to finish it. And here's how we do it. Here's one last Greek word. Aphorao. To turn the eyes away from other things and fix them on something. To look away unto. If you really translated this verse in keeping with that original Greek word, it would say, looking away unto Jesus. Looking away unto Jesus. Interesting word. A very unusual word in the New Testament. The author and the finisher of our faith. I'm focusing on him as I deliberately am shutting other things out. Looking away unto Jesus. Isn't that something? There are so many interesting words in this passage. I've only given you three. But we've got him. Our champion and example. That's number four. And as long as we keep our eyes on him, that is the whole secret. That is the whole thing. So this year, get rid of the weight. Say, Lord, want me to get rid of it. What is it? Now, here's where we're going to stop for a minute. What is it, if I said to you today, what is the one thing that is holding you back most in your Christian walk? What would you write down? And I just say that because we can't deal with something until we know what it is. And a lot of times we don't think about it. You say, well, my Christian walk's going pretty good. Well, that's not the question. We probably all have some little thing that's holding us back in some way. So if I said to you today, what is the one thing in your life right now that is holding you back the most in your Christian walk or in your Christian growth, what would it be? All right, you've already identified one of the things that the Lord wants to help you get rid of this year and lighten your load by a certain amount so that you can, Now, some of these other hindrances that are in the way, you're never going to get rid of those. Because they're not here. They're over there. You can only say, Lord, help me in spite of that to keep my eyes fixed on you. Not to look at the hindrance and the obstacle, but to look at you and to keep pressing forward. So we've got our champion and we've got our example, and it talks about him. It says, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. Oh, man, talk about obstacles and hostility and stuff. So that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So in your struggle with sin, you haven't yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. A few believers have here and there, but very few of us are required to make that particular sacrifice. But it is amazing. And if you have one little chink in your armor, you have one little area of irritation that the enemy can use successfully, guess what? He'll find it. He'll identify it, and he'll come at you with it over and over again. Hey, as long as it's working, why wouldn't he? But this can be the year that we get rid of the weights. This can be the year that we say, is today the first Sunday of 2015? I think so. There's only 361 days to go, by the way, in 2015. So it's a 365-page book. Today we're on page 4. This is the year we can do it. Now, let's move quicker because this is Communion Sunday and we need to do this. But here it is, number 5. The essential quality to winning and completing the race. Here's your first blank if you have the thing there and want to fill it in. It's named. Endurance. If our interest in the things of God is superficial, I'm going to cut it. Endurance. Just keeping on, keeping on. Just hanging in there. Just plugging along. Sometimes it may seem like we're thwarted at every step. Sometimes it may seem like the progress is slow. But just keep on, keeping on. And that word just occurs over and over. Run with endurance the race. And then it says, consider him who endured, there's that word again, such hostility against himself. So that word occurs over and over in this passage. Endurance, that is the key. What is a key component in our training that will build endurance? That word also occurs in the rest of this passage. It's called discipline. The Lord will bring things into our life in order that we may learn discipline. How many know that athletes, runners, and other types of athletes have to be disciplined? They can't sleep into all hours. They can't eat any old thing they want. They have to learn discipline in order to be successful. So the Lord will teach us discipline. And through that discipline, that very discipline that we may find so difficult, what is he doing? This is what the writer says to these Hebrews, because they've been through some tough stuff, really tough stuff. He says, it's through discipline he's building your endurance. You may not realize it right now, but that is exactly what he is doing. And what is our ultimate goal? Well, of course, the winner's circle. There's a street in a major city by that name, by the way. Winner's Circle. Would you like to live there? We're looking for the Winner's Circle. Going to have, I think, I don't know, is it going to be a Super Bowl in a few weeks? And what's going to happen? How is that winning team going to be behaving 10 minutes after the game's won? You know what's going to be happening. And they're going to be part of the what? The Winner's Circle. And that's worth the whole thing, isn't it? See, that's the thing. And that is what we're working towards. So, we may not know exactly all the individual things that are going to hit us this year, but we know we have a race marked out before us. We know that we have a champion who is there to assist us every step of the way, and that by keeping our eyes and our focus on him and enduring, we can successfully deal with these other things. And with his help, we can run, maybe we're not totally weight free, but in this world, but we can get rid of a lot of that unwanted weight, whatever it is that's holding us back. And that this year, we'll really make some progress in our walk with the Lord. That would be my prayer today for both you and for me. Shall we pray? Father, we come today. This is really running for keeps. It says that in another place in your word. It says the people who run races down here, they do it for a trophy or a crown that's eventually going to wind up somewhere in some dumpster or something. But we're running it for a crown that endures forever. I think of that old song, when the battle's over, we will wear a crown. So Lord, today, remind us how much you love us. Remind us of the price that was paid so that we could even be entrants in this race. And then give us the grace and the courage and all the things that we need this year to make the choices we need to make so that we can run this race unfettered, unhindered, and make all the progress that you want us to make this year. But if we wind up a little short, it'll be for other reasons, but not because we were carrying weights around that we had no business holding on to. So Lord, deal with us, and Lord, bring us closer to yourself, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.